You're listening to The Shot Podcast, presented by Grey Goose Vodka. Whether it's a dinner party for 10 or a small kickback, you know the vibes will always be right if you're surrounded by your favorite people. And great company pairs best with a great cocktail. So make it a Grey Goose Martini cocktail. Impress your guests in style with an espresso martini or the always effortless classic martini with a lemon twist. No matter what you decide, everyone can appreciate the smooth, delicate taste that only a Grey Goose Vodka Martini can provide. For more info on how to craft a vodka-based cocktail, visit greygoose.com and remember to always sip responsibly. Hey, it's P here. On this episode, myself, Mav, and LeBron got to sit with Travis Scott.
Imagine like losing at 1:30 and having to sit there for 7 hours. Be like, I want to just dip.
Ice Spice.
For a long time, I was just like, why me? Like how did this even happen?
Sauce Gardner.
I played 2 seasons, 2 All-Pros, 2 Pro Bowls. What can they say now?
Chad Ochocinco.
If you best by God and you put the work in, that's where the longevity coming at.
And Major League Baseball All-Star Julio Rodriguez.
I feel like there are a lot of people that trust me, and I just feel like I didn't want to let them down.
Listen now.
I saw the owner had a dude on the Jets had to change his ideas. They said, what are you dripping?
He was in the locker room earlier this year with that shit.
I figured you got it for him as a kid.
Nah, I ain't getting it for him.
He said he wanted to grill.
He's too old for that shit, man. I'll be having to tell him, like, chill.
He said he want to grill some more shit.
You turn the pipe down?
He saying, I'm looking. I'm like, bro, you got to be a little older, you know? I say it in a respectful manner. You know what I'm saying?
You know, everybody say you're the best corner in the league already.
I mean, when it come to the league, I don't be like, I'm the best. I just be like, I was the most consistent this year. You know what I mean? You can't really say who the best, because in 1 year, it could be all over with.
Y'all too similar, by the way. Y'all was like, rookie year, everybody was like...
out of here.
Yeah, his rookie year, he was like, best in his position. Your rookie year, did it happen fast for you?
Because on me, it didn't really feel that fast. But I could see how people thought it was fast.
It felt fast to me. It was like, all of a sudden... all I heard was Ice Spice, Ice Spice.
Yeah. She's just
old,
bangers,
bro.
Though.
Huh? She's dangerous.
Bangers. Yeah. Bangers. Thank you.
Yeah, bangers for sure.
So I remember back then, like, I was on Instagram and I seen her, it's called, like, Over the Radar or something like that.
On the Radar, yeah.
On the Radar. I seen that. I'm like, oh, she's snapping.
Yeah.
I mean, next thing you know, she took off.
Did you expect it to be like that?
I was hoping for it to be like that, but I wouldn't say I was really, like, expecting it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But Travis, even you as one of the most established artists, when you hear a newcomer, what catches your eye? Or you're like, okay, like, they may have something.
I don't know. I just like being raw, I guess. Like, not really trying. Shit's just natural. And music, you know, when you like natural and shit just come, like, whenever you want to drop, you can just drop and go brazy anytime. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, a fact.
You always working, Trav, always making music, always?
Hell yeah, man.
Every day?
Yeah.
Trav's got unlimited energy.
I know. I don't know. I don't get it.
He got unlimited energy, bro, all the time.
Do you ever get tired?
I mean, yeah, I get sleepy. I'm not like a robot and shit. Yeah, I get sleepy, but I mean, it's like fun to me and shit, you know? When I get bored, that's when I get tired. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I try to find fun in like everything I do.
Is performing more fun, making it more fun?
Performing it might be like the best... it's like, it's the real party. And it's like, I make music to perform it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. So when you go in the studio, you're like, I'm making this. How would it sound when I perform it?
Yeah. It can be like the loudest or the calmest song. Like, you know, I just want to.
Yeah, but also you just add that all the fans is going crazy in there. It's just like a drug.
Yeah.
it's like when you just can hear or feel the crowd rocking with you and vibing with you. Like, even in my sport, we all kind of share the same thing. Like, y'all go on stage, you know, their stage is my stage too. When I hit the court and all the fans is cheering and they either know a song or they know one of yours, like my signature dunk or whatever the case may be, and you know they about to go crazy, yeah. Like, it gives you even more energy. You like, I don't want to stop. Like, it's that feeling.
I feel like artists are athletes. You know, I think people kind of take it off a little bit. It depends on why you take it, right?
Right.
You can go into an arena and like really go wall to wall every night, 2 hours, you know what I'm saying, do your set time. You know, you going, dropping 50, you know what I mean, playing 4 quarters, wall to wall till it's over. And like for me, I really, you know, try to bring the energy.
But
so
the
it's
difference
like,
is, Trav, in sports, he get to be a winner or a loser every night. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a scoreboard. And yeah. We know the champs is like, somebody gonna win the game at the end of the game. Somebody scored 30 points, somebody didn't. In your sport, call it music and sport. Yeah. It's subjective.
It's subjective, yeah. It's
and the
subjective.
Only awards is the, I mean, not the only awards, but the biggest awards is the Grammys, which is totally subjective. Totally, like,
fuck.
Not based. What'd you say?
Said,
you
fuck. See, say,
fuck.
How you feel? I mean, we could buy all, Euphoria, listen to a stream. None of that matters. The Grammys is strictly subjective.
You know, it's crazy because, like, a lot of my peers, everyone's like, oh, you know, fuck that award. I fuck with it. You know what I mean? You play football to win the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? You play basketball to win championships. You know, I don't make music to win Grammys, but, you know, it's what that Grammy, like, used to mean is what I always hold on to. It's, like, the idea of music. I love creating music. I think, like, you know, we come, our generation now, we're, like, you know, a generation spawned from, like, allegiance of music. So, you know, that award is just, like, at one point it's held up to, you know, a higher statue. And I still believe in it in a sense. You know, it gets rough at times, but fuck, you know, what the fuck.
You got nominated a bunch. I think you've been nominated over 10 times or 10 times.
Yeah.
And as big as you are, you've never won one, which is a little crazy. But that, but also it's the, about what they do with the category of rap, like yeah. Not putting the shit on TV.
But it's crazy. It's like, you know, rap's not on TV, right? So it's like, you know, you sit there and then they air the show, the rap award at like 2 or 1:30. But you got to perform at like 8:30. So imagine like losing at 1:30 and having to sit there for 7 hours. Like, fuck this shit. You be like, I want to just dip. Fuck this. Like, like, you know what I'm saying? Even I feel like Ice too, I, you know, they might category it as rap, but I think it's like a versatility in there that isn't like fully exposed. Like, I'm not saying it's pop. I'm not saying it's country. I just think it's music, right?
Right.
She might rap one day, might swing, sing one day, might make a beat. Tomorrow, you never know, can direct a video the next day. I think it's just creativity.
Travis, if someone asks you, are you a rapper? Are you? How do you describe yourself?
I just say I'm an artist.
I'm an artist.
Yeah, because I got big songs where I'm like not rapping.
Yeah,
shit
of course.
At all. Like Goosebumps is like Diamond, and you know, I don't rap at all. But then I got songs like Sycamore where I'm rapping, and it's like, you know, Diamond too. So I'm just an artist, I guess.
Yeah, but you're an amazing artist. I mean, sneakers, everything, everything, huh?
So I got something on.
Yeah, exactly. Ice, how do you feel about the Grammys? What's your feeling being a newcomer to the whole thing?
I mean, it's my first Grammy, so I was just honored to be there and grateful for my nominations, to be honest. Like, I didn't expect to win any, so I didn't leave disappointed. I had more fun after the Grammys, actually. At the after party.
I feel that.
Right.
Did you meet anyone you were looking forward to meeting? Did you?
I met Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
And I was really excited because I've been a fan of him since I was like 14. And when I met him, he was like, she ain't even the fart, by the way. And I was like, oh shit, period. Yeah, so.
And you met Beyonce too.
Yes, I met Beyonce. How can I forget that? Oh my God, I did meet Beyonce and Blue and Jay. So.
Tell us about that the whole experience of meeting Beek.
So I didn't really like meet her too much because, you know, it was basically a Beyonce meet and greet at the Grammys. So there was a long line. So we all got a couple seconds, but I had seen her like in her table and stuff, and she looked over at me and smiled. So while she was walking towards me, I already knew she was gonna come say hi. So I got up to be prepared. Some people was like, ew, Ice threw herself at Beyonce, like relax. I'm like, no girl, like she already seen me and she was on the way, so yeah.
She's on the way.
She's on the way. Yeah. No girl, she's yeah. But as athletes, how do y'all feel about awards? There's a lot going on in the NBA awards now.
With you wanna go first?
Go ahead, Sauce. Go
it's
ahead,
weird
sauce.
Because the NFL awards, I assume, are like NBA. Who votes on them?
So, with the Pro Bowl, the way the Pro Bowl been going, I don't know if it's been like this, but I know since I got in the league, like my brand, name, Sauce, all that, anytime I win a Pro Bowl, it's a popularity contest. So, it started from people saying, he gonna win a Pro Bowl, it's a popularity contest, to let's see if he win All-Pro. All-Pro, not a popularity contest. That's what they said. So I'm going into my third year. I played 2 seasons, 2 All-Pros, 2 Pro Bowls.
Jesus.
Talk that talk.
What can they say now?
Talk.
But they say All-Pro turned into a popularity contest now. So it's like anything I win is a popularity contest at this point. it's always a blessing to get those awards. In reality, like, shit, it ain't my fault that I got picked. I ain't choose myself. I just go out there and play football. You know what I'm saying?
But 2 seasons, 2 All-Pros, did you feel like you deserved to be All-Pro both years?
For sure.
Then you
put me every time I'm on the field, the way I prepare for the game, practice, the way I attack it every single day, you know what I mean? I feel like nobody doing it like me.
I do want to ask, you guys have won a lot, right? Album sales and tours and merch and all these things. Is there an award you haven't won that still stings?
Yeah, Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only award that I don't have in my house. That kind of stings. I talked about this before, like, it don't make sense. It's almost like what Jay just said about B, how can she have the most Grammys?
Yeah.
But never won Album of the Year.
Yeah.
So the year I finished second in Defensive Player of the Year award, the guy who won Defensive Player of the Year didn't even make first team all defense.
That doesn't make sense.
Is that even possible?
Yeah.
And I also had an opportunity too to be, I would have been the first unanimous MVP where I got all 120 votes. But I got 119. Yeah.
Do you know who the one vote
was?
Yeah,
I know.
Carmelo.
It was the one vote he voted for Carmelo. But
it was a writer in New York, man.
Fuck no, it was a writer from Boston.
Boston.
Of course.
Boston going to Boston.
Of course. But I know his name, too, but I ain't going to give him that light just yet. I'm waiting for the doc on that one.
But the media votes on these awards, and like, it's I don't know if it's a perfect way to do it because humans have bias, but.
It's like non-players that vote on.
Exactly.
Athletes. So why are they voting? That doesn't make sense.
So that's my point. I don't know the answer.
I don't know what it should be, but why are they voting? If you're not watching the game, you're not studying the game, you're not listening to the peers of the game, too, that's like really telling you, like, he's the best player. That's the best album.
The one thing that's going to be crazy in the NBA to me, Bron, is I don't know if it's this year, but it's definitely going to have a year where a guy who we clearly agree, all of us, that he is the MVP, and he plays 63 games.
Yeah.
And the person who is winning it, that's a weird feeling. Like,
I'm going to
get the trophy, but I know this guy should have won. But he only not going to win because he missed 2 games. But the world is like, as a man, you almost want to go, man, that's that man's trophy, man. I don't even want this trophy.
Yeah. I mean, they want to put a lot of asterisks on my shit. I want to see an asterisk go on there for the first guy who wins the MVP. And we for sure know that the guy that played 64 games and maybe got injured and didn't meet the 65 game criteria, he loses it because he got hurt. He's hurt.
Yeah. Like we were saying, Trav, like your album was the one everybody loved.
I think anytime any one of us is winning, I think it's dope. I have no idea. I just want to continue making like the best fucking music possible. What was rap 50 years ago? Is it going to be rap? The new 50 years, right? We celebrate 50 years of rap. There's a new 50 years of rap coming. There's a new 50 years of music coming and shit. There's a new 50, you know, years style of play of basketball. You got fucking Wimby, 8-1. This guy can be a point guard.
He said he 8-1.
And I feel like, you know, sometimes things get stuck in like old ways. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with people winning. I just think it needs to be like obvious understanding.
Like what, Trav? What you think would be the obvious understanding? It's
like
what?
Shit is big. Like, you know, I sold out SoFi this year, right? You know, I didn't know I was the only rapper to do that, but that's crazy. You know, when people go back in time, like 10 years from now, when we not gonna remember this moment, they gotta go through the catalog to figure out what's going on. They know, you know, he's an all-time scorer. You know, he is on this date. You feel what I'm saying? He won a championship on this date. He fought for that, you know what I mean? Time in, time out. You know, people can go back in history and it can be just a debacle of like what was ill and what wasn't.
Travis, let me ask you, you know, I don't think it's debatable if there's a Mount Rushmore, the culture, you're on that Mount Rushmore. Are we maybe putting too much importance on one award show, like when you are the culture?
I'm not, people always talk about that and shit. I think about this shit like a club, right? If there's a club, a Grammy club, right? And it's like, man, you got Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, like these are real greats. Kanye West, you know, Jay-Z. You know, like I'm at that motherfucker, like, at the rope, like, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yo, y'all see me? Yo, get my man.
You hear the music in the party. Like, they can't even party to the niggas who are in the club. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's obviously going to be a club of niggas who can, you can party to these niggas, like, amazing Jay, all these amazing artists. You're going to have some niggas in there that you don't even know these motherfuckers. You're going to have some people outside that motherfucker, like, damn, and they music playing all night. You know, they can go sell out 50 of these spots down the street. You know, it's just like,
Like, you having fun doing it all?
Yeah, I'm having fun doing all.
It seemed like a lot of work, but you
fun. It's the funnest shit. But I'm an artist. You know what I mean? Like, you can do the shoes, you can do cars, you can just... I'm a musician. You know?
Keep the main thing the main thing.
Keep the main thing. None of that shit matters if he ain't 10 toes down on being a musician.
Yeah.
All the other stuff, it works organically because his people that follow him through his journey, whatever he do, they don't give a fuck what he do. Because they know when that album drop or that song drop,
it's time to rage.
It's
time to go rage.
Yeah, for sure. Have a good time.
Speaking of time to rage, we got to let you go.
Yeah,
got some more raging to do.
Go up.
Going right,
thank
up.
You so much, man.
Thank you,
brother.
For coming through.
All the best.
Love you, brother. Love.
LB, you got to come to the crib. Yeah. Get the stew.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're right up the street.
I got
listen for them cars to go up the street. I'll be here.
I'm the president of your fan club. You the illest of all time.
I'm going to send you some shit.
Okay, for sure. All right, y'all.
Hey. Just like that.
Look who it is.
Yes, sir, man.
Let me know if you need the feature.
Got you.
Oh, Joe.
How you doing? What's happening?
What's up, brother?
I'm good.
Good to see you.
Praise God.
What's up?
You good?
Let's get right to it. Ocho Zan, I saw you size him up a little bit when you said what's up.
Yeah, that's my little cousin.
But how would you if y'all lined up against each other?
Okay.
He done. They had to rethink his contract. that's my boy. That's, you know. Played
it's
in Cincinnati.
Love. It's love.
Yeah, it's love, but I'm just saying, in a respectful manner, I don't play that shit.
But look, though, he did used to be my favorite receiver coming up.
Talk now.
Really?
You remember? I told him, like, for me, I used to be on YouTube, watching his videos. He used to be training with, like, Santana Moss, all of them at the field.
Dre Johnson.
I used to be watching, you know what I mean? He used to be shit talking there.
He long
like
and lanky, though.
How would you stop? How would you shut Ocho Zan?
I like that, because I know how to get around
like,
that.
In his prime, or like now?
In his prime, how would you shut Ocho down?
Wait. Before you answer that. Hold on, before you answer that. I'm still in my prime. Go ahead.
No disrespect.
Look, it's easy for real, man.
Easy?
Easy. Just get hands on him.
I say that's wasn't strong. Everybody say that.
He wasn't strong like that. He wasn't trying to block for
me. I wasn't physically imposing at all, but it's one thing couldn't nobody do with me. See these things down here? See that?
Dance?
Hey.
Take him to the dance.
What?
Take him to the dance.
Off the line.
Right off the line. I don't even see you. I'm not saying I'm Ray Charles, but I don't see him. I don't play that. So you already know what time it is. But I love him, though. I love his game. You can tell. You don't follow me on Twitter. But
I will.
Always showing love. Technique, anything you do. Remember that curl route? Who was that tried to run that curl route? And they were doing all that weaving.
You talking about the Packers?
Yeah, boy. I talked about that thing about a week straight.
Them hips
always,
different.
Always.
Tall guy. You're tall.
6'3".
Always pay respects.
Yes.
Always show love.
So you want to, going into every game, you want one receiver head up or you would take some zone? So you like a little zone?
So, I mean, you got to think everybody get tired, but.
Of course.
Like, I want to travel. I'm going to be traveling this year.
Everywhere.
Stay tuned for that.
You're traveling everywhere.
Be traveling this year. I already had to talk to my D coordinator about it.
You're in the AFC East. That's tough. You got Diggs, Tyreek.
You like that energy, too. You like that, I'm going to travel. That's your type of energy.
Travel.
I'm a competitor, man.
That's that money, though. You travel, you get to go to the table with that. Because everybody ain't doing that.
That's a good point.
It is.
That's a good point. That's a business move.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
By the way, you, early in your career, made all these hits. When did you realize this is a business? Oh, shit. I thought I was just making music, and now I got all these things to do. Like Chad said, I got to go to the table and negotiate and treat it like a business.
I was making some noise in the city, like, you know,
which
in New
city?
York. New York.
Yeah. The city.
What part?
The city?
What part of New York?
Yeah, the city.
Just the whole New York, like.
She the whole thing, buzzing.
Because the thing is, like.
From the BX. From the
yeah, I'm from the Bronx. So, like, the thing is, like, in New York, once you start making noise, like, everybody knows who you are, really. It's hard to make it out of New York, I feel like. Like, you can make it in New York, but to make it out is, like, another story. And so, like, I had put out the Munch snippet, and that's when, like, the whole little bidding stuff started to happen like that. You know what I'm saying? So.
Did you know immediately when you put Munch out?
No.
No?
I had no idea. I was sitting on Munch for, like, 6 months before I even teased it. Yeah.
So. And were you intimidated in those label meetings? Were you like, whoa, this is not what I...
I was definitely intimidated. Like, you know, I was only 22, and it was just, like, a big deal to me, you know what I'm saying? And I could tell everybody in the meeting was very serious, so.
She's like, I'm just trying to make music for the people.
Yeah, word.
For
I
my
like
people,
music.
I ain't with all this.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd be locked in.
Wow. So didn't you go to a college and start working with producers and try and get people to take you seriously? Yeah. You got Riot started.
So I went to SUNY Purchase. I ended up dropping out. Riot graduated, though. Shouts to him. And that's where we met. Purchase is full of a bunch of artists, dancers, stuff like that. And yeah, we just connected and started making.
But did you get, was other people not taking you serious? Were you trying to get other producers to work with you there?
You know what's funny? Yeah, I was. There's this one producer that I was begging him for beats. And we was friends, like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, why my friend not sending me beats? Like, he don't want me to eat. And then, like, now that everything happened, now he be, like, trying to work.
I'm sure he do.
You see it turn around? You see the mouth?
I'm sure he is trying to get a hit.
No.
Nah, I still love, though. Like, I still fuck with him. But I be locked in. Like, me and Riot is more like a duo, I feel like. I think that's really important, and it's, like, true to hip-hop, too, because I feel like the people that do lock in with, like, a couple producers are, like, huge now.
Well, yeah. You look at Future. Metro. You look at Drake.
Yeah.
40. Drake ain't never made a record at 40 and whatever.
Yep.
You know, it's just a few of them artists. They know, because they know the sound.
I do want to ask you, it's like, it's whether fairly or unfairly, there's this notion that, you know, female rappers don't get along and there's always beef or whatnot. But, you know, I know you've worked with Nicki. You know, what was that experience like?
It was breathtaking, honestly. I'm not going to lie. Like, it took so long for it to really sink in for me. I think now I fully, like, understand, and I could be like, yeah, I did that. But, like, at the time, it was just so emotional for me, and I just, like, couldn't believe it. Like, for a long time, I was just like, why me? Like, how did this even happen? Because, you know, I grew up listening to Nicki, and, like, I was, like, 7 years old when I first laid eyes on her. So just to, like, grow up and finally get two, like, big songs with her and be Grammy-nominated with her is, like, unreal for me. Like, I'm forever grateful for that.
That means you're doing something right.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, that means you're doing something right.
One of the main goals for each episode of The Shop is to share and learn from the unique experiences of all our guests as we curate conversations with those who are shaping culture. What I've learned is that through the journey, you know, all the hard work, the hustle, and the consistency, it's always important to celebrate your wins. So do it in style and raise a glass to toast the unforgettable moments that continue to make us who we are. Toast to your wins with a Grey Goose Martini cocktail. Check out greygoose.com for smooth-tasting recipes. And remember, sip responsibly. The Shop podcast is presented by Grey Goose Vodka.
We all had that same experience, all of us. When we got to the league, the guys that we were playing against when we was rookies, we looked up to them like,
man.
Oh, wow. Like, when I came in the league, it was like Allen Iverson, it was Kobe, Kevin Garnett, T-Mac, Jason Kidd, all those guys that I looked up, Grant Hill, Penny Hardaway. And I get into my rookie year, and I'm playing against them, Shaq. I'm like, damn, this is crazy. And then I had a little second, like, oh, shit, you supposed to be here. You doing something right, champ.
How quickly does it click for you, Bron? It's like, nah, they got to be food. Like, they competitors now. Like, they can't be my heroes
anymore.
Once
the ball tip up. I think, you know, in the warm-ups, though, you definitely be looking on the other side, like, seeing, like, oh, shit, that's how he warming up. And I'm like, I'm going to try to steal that right there. Okay, he's stretching. Okay, what kind of stretch is that right there? Wow. Once that whistle blow and that motherfucker do like this, or in y'all instance, when they kick that ball off, oh, it's go time.
Ocho, you played in the league a long time, seen a lot of guys. How much of it is a balance of, like, this guy was just blessed by God and he worked? How much of that plays into it?
It got to be 50-50, because normally, most of the time, you got a dude that's blessed by God and he don't work, he going to get exposed anyway.
For sure.
You get exposed on the back end. If you're blessed by God and you put the work in, that's where the longevity come in at. You know, you do it for a very long time. I'm going to use soccer terminology. You got Cristiano Ronaldo, you got Messi. Mm-hmm. That's blessed by God, mixed with the work. Mm-hmm. Then you think about one of the greatest of all time, and I hate to say this and use a comparison, Ronaldinho.
Could have been the best.
Blessed by God.
Didn't work.
But didn't put in the work. Nope. Because he loved the party, loved to play, you know, do all that. I mean, no disrespect, but I'm just giving you an example of what you could have been. He should be the best to ever touch the grass.
Basketball, it's actually a bit more black, like you can see it. Like,
yeah, you can see it.
Like, I love Bubba Chuck. Bubba Chuck didn't put the work in like the guys did. He played hard.
Right.
Bubba Chuck was the most blessed. I mean, he had everything. He played hard. Now, it's different. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't play hard, then you're disrespecting.
He had the culture on lock, though.
He had the culture on lock. But he didn't work.
I did, man. What? What? I wore an arm sleeve because of Bubba Chuck.
Of course.
I wore braids because of Bubba Chuck.
Culture, yeah. We're talking
everything.
About
everything.
And he played hard. He just didn't work. He would tell you.
Oh, boy, got the
culture. He'd be like, in offseason, I don't do nothing. I might hoop every now and again, but that's it.
Can I ask you guys? Sure. You guys all had, obviously, God-given talent that propelled you to get to become a pro, and you put the work in. When you guys became pros, even you as well, in your field of music, was there a moment when you're like, oh, there's a different level of, like, the commitment of work it's going to take? Or did you guys already have that on day one of you guys being pros?
I kind of had it already. You know what I'm saying? But in the league, you get way more time. So it's about what you do with it. I'm saying, but, like, it's easy for me to drive myself to be great and to take myself to the next level. You know, growing up in Detroit, seeing the things that I seen at an early age, you know what I mean? Always knowing my why, like, I feel like I ain't grow up like the average kid. You know what I mean? I feel like I seen things that I shouldn't have seen when I was younger. But that's always stuff that I can just, you know, think about, you know, go back in the archives, you know, and that just puts me to, I'm saying, just be great.
You knew day one, Bron? Like, the level of work it was going to take?
Yeah, because I wanted to be the greatest basketball player to ever play. Man, I knew it wasn't going to happen in 1, 2, 5, 10 years. Like, I knew in order for me to ever be even mentioned with the greats, like, I had to consistently be dominant for decades. Like, that was my, and I already knew I had the God-given ability, but the one thing I knew that separated from me from a lot of the kids when I was growing up is, like, my attention to detail. Like, I had a level of detail when the games came and the practices came and a commitment to, like, you know, going in before school started. School started at 8:10. I was in the weight room in the gym at like 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, you know what I'm saying? Staying after, you know, off days, I would still go in and work on my game. Like, I was one of the only kids I was the only kid on the basketball team. Probably my best friend Drew, because his dad was the head coach, that had a key to the high school gym that I could go at any time and I had the code to the alarm to turn it off. So I would just go in high school days where I was just maybe watching TV too much or playing the game too much. I was like, I'm about to just go to the high school, put the gun up, and just shoot 1,000 shots to get the work in. And I had a level of, like, crazy expectations that I wish on nobody as an 18-year-old kid going into any field, from a business side, from a sports side, from a musician side. Like, it was ridiculous.
Same thing for you. Was there, like, another level once you signed and had some success?
It is true, like, it's really about whoever wants it the most. And I feel like I did want it the most out of, like, everybody that I was watching or whatever. But there is this one moment that we always laugh about, me and my team. Like, I was in Norway last year on tour, and I was just like, this doesn't make any sense. I was so tired. I had like 3 hours of sleep. Then we had to travel at like 2 a.m. It was just like a big mess. And I was just like complaining to my manager, like, why would you book me for this? Like, this makes no sense. Like, you don't care about me. I'm so tired. Like, and but then in that moment, I did realize, like, if I don't push through these hard times, like, I'm not going to make it to where I want to be. So I just had to, like, fully accept, like, this is going to take sacrifice.
There are those moments you realize this is exactly what I asked for. Right? Yeah. You want to be the greatest.
You wanted to play shows.
So that's what helps, though, when you got a team around you, too, or a person.
Of course.
Anybody that you can lean on in those times where you're like, fuck. Like, I'm exhausted, bro. Like, I'm exhausted. You know? It's not good to have yes men and women around when you're trying to climb the mountaintop. And it damn sure ain't good to have them when you're at the top of the mountain. They were the first ones that kick your ass back down that mountain for sure, dog. I'm telling you.
Me and my brother, we get into it so much.
He older or younger?
He older than me. It just be things that I ask for things that I say, and he just, the one to always tell me, like, nah, don't do that. Or nah, this ain't right. We get into arguments all the time, bro. We argue so much, but he my business manager, you know, he over my marketing, you know? We work together. But then after the fact, after it's all said and done, I'd be like, bro, I appreciate you, bro. You know, always keeping it 100. You know what I'm saying? Always pushing me, man. He always pushed me since I was younger, though. Like, he the reason that I played a game of football. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Unfortunately, he didn't get to make it, But he always say God work in mysterious ways, you know. Now he's still in the football industry. He can watch me unfold.
For sure. Ice, we got to get you out of here. You got to go perform now.
Thank you. She's working now.
She's working.
Literally.
Thank you for doing this.
Come visit us.
Thank you, darling.
So nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Let me know if you need a feature.
Need a feature?
Yeah, I'm trying to do a little bit of everything.
Ocho's been on in the shop for 20 minutes. He's asked Travis Scott and Ice Spice if they need a feature.
Hey, Ocho, you can rap?
Close mouth, don't get fit, huh?
You can rap?
Well, yeah, boy. What you like that? And I can hoop. What's up? You trying to run one? Y'all can move that out the way? Let go the fire real quick. Y'all got a ball? No, I'm serious.
We're in the WNBA practices. I'm sure
it's a hoop, though.
Yeah. Oh, cool. We're in the practices.
They hung up all the rocks.
Hey. Julio's in the shop, huh? Baby.
What's up, Julio? What's up, brother? Pleasure, man. How you doing, brother?
For sure, brother.
What's up, baby?
What's up, baby?
I'm good, baby.
I'm good, baby. Congrats on everything.
What's up, man?
Can you hoop?
Huh?
You can hoop for real? What position did you play?
I played the four.
They ain't play no four.
Ocho,
no
legs.
The last hits.
Ocho, give me a pro cut. Who's like your style of game in the NBA right now?
I'm like Rasheed Wallace. Like, hold on, listen. Stay with me now. I'm like a mix of Rasheed Wallace, right? Mm-mm. But I got the explosion of Derrick Rose in his prime, Ja Morant and Russell Westbrook. Like, I got that type. I'm on that Mamba shit.
You can jump?
Like, what? My brother was about 46.
46 what?
Huh?
46 what?
Inches.
Yeah, come on, don't you?
Y'all ain't never seen me hoop?
No.
You gonna see in a minute as soon as we clear that shit out. You nervous?
Yeah,
I know you is. You got the right one.
Julio, good to see you, bro. Rookie of the year.
Yes, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm sure he think he could outplay you in baseball, too.
Yeah, you.
You can swing it, too?
Nah. Huh?
You can swing it?
Oh, yeah, I can swing. I hit 95. Easy.
Easy?
Yeah. My hand-eye coordination is beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I played in high school. I believe
if he get on base, it's going to be hard to get him still on base.
Brian, you used to play football, didn't you?
I did. I played football my whole life until my senior year of high school.
What made you stop?
My best friends told me if I play football, another down is going to whoop my ass every day at school. And my mama was like, that's it. That's it. My mama saw the vision.
Okay.
She's like, boy, we in the slums, boy. Yeah.
We one year removed from getting better.
Listen,
I love coming to football games. But boy, we one year removed from going to the draft. Go ahead and stop playing this. I was like, mama, okay, all right.
Did you hoop sauce?
She wanted me to stop my junior year. And she back there, she back in the back too right now. I know she can hear me talking. Yeah. I snuck and played my junior year and didn't tell her for the first 2 weeks of the season. She had no idea. What? And found out and cussed my ass out. But she couldn't do nothing at that point. I was already, I was bigger. She couldn't whoop me no more. It didn't hurt. You know, so I could run out. I have my license, so I can leave. But I couldn't get away with it 2 more years though. I love
it. Sauce, did you hoop?
Yeah, I used to play AU. I'm still a buck. Can't shoot the same, but I'm a buck.
Julio, you play? Always baseball? Anything beyond baseball?
Always baseball. The DR is always baseball.
Like, nothing else?
Nothing else. No,
there's soccer. Some hoopers, Al Horford from the DR.
I mean, yeah, but like he was more in the States
than
the DR, you know?
Yeah.
But everywhere baseball.
Everybody plays baseball.
Like school, everywhere. We don't have like a lot of like a big basketball or soccer. Soccer is growing now, so you might like to go over there.
Yeah.
But it is growing right now. But everywhere is baseball. If you was born a boy, he's gonna be a baseball player. That's the first thing that it would say.
So it's already in your crib when you get home. Yeah, a little bat, a little baseball.
That's my mom. My mom was the first one that bought me a bat.
How old were you?
I mean, I was just born when she gave me the first one, so I was ready. I was already getting into it.
Yeah, wow. I can't explain to you guys. Like, I'm Puerto Rican. He's like DR. There's a different level of like baseball. Is first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, everyone plays. How soon, how early did you know you had a chance to be a pro? Because everyone there
I would say like around 13, 14. That's whenever I started doing tryouts and like being seen by all the teams and all that. And like I started seeing like, you know, 16, 15 years old, I kind of were getting looked at. I was like, okay, if he has a shot, then I think I can make it too. So I felt that's whenever I realized okay, I think we can make something with that.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And when you go to the big leagues, when did you realize, we were talking about this earlier, like, I belong here? Because that's, to me, that's the hardest skill in sports, is hitting a baseball. But when you're like, I got this, I can play on this level.
I feel like when I first got there, I knew I was prepared because I was able to, like, play with some other big leaguers and kind of, like, learn from them. And I had some chances to go in spring training because you kind of get invited for spring training a little bit and then you get sent down and you're playing the season. But once I got up there, it kind of, the first thing that struck me was I'm really playing with my favorite players, with all my favorite players. So that was, kind of the first thing that you kind of get. Mm-hmm. Well, after the first month, I remember this particular game against the Rangers. I went 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts and a line drive to Adolis Garcia. And I was like, man, I got to do something about this. And then that's whenever, like, okay, I need to actually get rid of that. And, I belong here. And I started playing, like, with my skill and, like, trusting myself. And I felt that's whenever it started for me, after that first month of the year.
It's become instincts then.
Well, it's amazing because you went 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts. You could go the other way.
Of course. Do I belong here?
You could be like, do I belong or start doubting yourself? How were you able to, like, find confidence in that, and who helped you? Was it, like, a teammate, your mom?
I just feel like the people that I had close to me, you know, I have my agent. He knew me since I was 14, but before I was, somebody to call it like that. I had my family that was right there, and, like, obviously the work that I put in, you know. I feel like I always thought that I worked really well. Like, I worked a lot to kind of get to the opportunity, and I didn't want it to let it go to waste. And I feel like there are a lot of people that trust me, and I just felt like I didn't want to let them down. And that's why I had to keep my head up, because there's no turning point for me. I'm not going to go to the minors, and I just got to make it work right now. And that was kind of my mentality going into it.
Got it. So as they always said, corners got to have the shortest memory. During the game, during the season, you ever get down on yourself, or you got that short memory? Like, if you get beat, like, fuck it, on to the next one?
I remember my first year, anytime I got beat, I ain't gonna lie, I ain't even really used to get beat that much. It's God-given, bro. Like, I'm 6'3", but I'm able to change direction. I can get beat off the line, mm-hmm. and I'm still there.
Yeah.
And it just be like, I just don't be knowing how.
There was some crazy stat I read on him when you was at Cincy. Like, your last 3 years or last
Wait,
2 years.
Nobody scored a touchdown on him?
Like, yeah. Nobody scored a nobody touchdown on him. Like,
I played 3 years.
He played three years
nobody
and not
scored.
One touchdown was scored on him in 3 years.
Sure, it'd be tough sledding for you. Right. That's, it'd that's, be tough that's sledding for you against
You know
him.
What I think it's from? I think it's because I played receiver back then.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm able to know what the receiver is thinking to a certain extent.
That's how prime was.
Exactly.
I got to ask you, how tough was it, though, when A-Rod went down?
It was extremely tough, you know.
Especially when y'all could... You know, they had y'all, one of the title contenders, you know.
So it's Aaron. You got to think, like, I grew up watching him. So I get the chance to get in person with him, bond with him, talk to him, and see, like, bro, he not what other people say about him. You know what I mean? It's people that say he was cancer to the teams. When I talk to him, man, what we seen, it's a leader, somebody that got a great work ethic, and somebody that just impacts the rest of the team, kind of like you. Like, I watch how you is on the court and everything. Like, when he's on that field, the whole offense is more confident in their abilities, and they feel like they're better, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like when he went down, like, to keep it 100, I feel like some offensive players, their mentality switched, because it's like...
Yeah, the whole vibe.
Aaron not on the field, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
It's easy for the defense for us to do what we do. Like, it's a defense. You don't want to get exposed. Corners... You definitely don't want to get exposed. You don't want to get beat. You don't care what's going on nowhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then the defense in general. But offense, it's like, it wasn't the same way around. Yeah.
So just walk me through. You break the huddle. What are you thinking before the play snapped?
So I get the huddle call probably about the divider, so between the numbers and the hash. Because when the offense break the huddle, I want to be studying the huddle. I want the person to see who about to line up in front of me, like, you got to come see me. It ain't going to be one of them things where we both run into the line and we both going to get huddled. We both going to get lined up. This is one of them things where I'm there and you got to come see me. You know what I'm saying? And
so he already out of the huddle, basically.
So he already
lined up. He already like this.
He don't go in
the huddle already. He ain't even in the huddle.
He don't break the huddle.
Not going to see me in the huddle.
When you get on the line, he already like this.
You coming to me.
So how you get the call? They give you a signal or something?
Nah, I'll be right there. I'll be close enough to where I can hear it. But you got to think. When you study the huddle and you waiting for that person to come to you, it already got you in that dominant mindset, like you about to dominate. And then doing that, you able to see where are other receivers going? All right, they lined up in 2x2, the ball right here on this hash. I'm thinking they about to do this.
Now, Osho, you break the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
You come out.
Receiver.
This 6'3
yeah.
monster is yeah. waiting for you lining up against you. Yeah. What you thinking?
I'm talking shit. Coming out the huddle.
Right out the huddle.
Right out the huddle.
What you telling him?
I'm getting out the huddle first, and I'm doing my favorite thing. If you watch clips of me when I was playing, the first thing I like to do if somebody's off, man, come on up here.
They're off the line.
Come play press. I prefer to play in press. And from there, then I dissect. The trash talking is to get to him mentally. I like to play mental gymnastics. People say, oh, he's talking trash. He's sending gifts to the DBs. No, I just need to get this much edge, slightly, mentally. Physically, you might be better than me. But if I can get you talking back or just engaging, I know I got you.
Oh, sure. Give us an example of a mental game you played, whether before the game. Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns. I had a little sponsorship with Pepto-Bismol at the time. So I thought it would have been fun. Okay, how can I get to the secondary? Give him a little bulletin board material before the week starts. So Wednesday, I took some Pepto-Bismol and I sent it to the entire secondary. So I sent it by FedEx so they would get it before the game Sunday, obviously. And the note on it said, this is for y'all because you're going to get sick to your stomach of trying to cover me. That's the way I felt the game should be played. I was a villain back then. What they doing today?
I want to ask Julio, I think growing up, one of your favorite players was Ken Griffey Jr., right?
No, that's your favorite player, right? Jr.
What's that been like, the
greatest swing,
right?
Of all time.
What's that been like, you end up on the Seattle Mariners?
Right.
Nah, it was definitely like a crazy opportunity to be out there, you know, like coming from like a kid to the Dominican Republic, you obviously follow Ken Griffey Jr., guys like Ichiro Suzuki, like all those big names, and just being able to be on the same team and playing the same position, I seem obviously like raise a lot of comparisons and all that. But I'm just grateful to have him in my corner that I can just go, hey, like, what do you do when you were going through this? Like, what was your approach? Mm-hmm. Like, all those things. I feel like I take advantage of it because I feel like everybody has their own time to kind of keep building on that house. And I feel like it's really cool to have him, like, same guy, same position, kind of going through a lot of similar things and be able to, like, have him to help me out, too.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was really cool to have him out there.
Did Junior win a home run derby?
He did, like, three times, I think. Two, three times,
so
yeah.
So you still got some work to do, though.
I definitely got it. He won it up one time and then after the first round. But it's cool, though. Like, being a home run derby is cool, man. That's probably, like, because I did two, the one in L.A. and did one in Seattle. And, like, it was by far one of the coolest experiences I ever had.
That's fine.
How many home runs did you hit total in the home run derby?
I mean, the first one, I hit 81.
Jesus.
And then in the one in Seattle, in the first round, I actually broke the record for most in one round. It was 41.
In one round?
In one round, yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you, if you look over your left shoulder, have something that you played an instrumental role in creating, men's grooming.
That's fine.
Talk about that a little bit, like what it means for you to see the product, what it meant for you in terms of helping create it.
I think it's super cool. Obviously, I think when it comes to men's like grooming, I think the first person to kind of introduce you to it is a woman. It's either your lady or your mom or your grandma or whatever. Like, they always the first one to tell you, like, because we just used to just waking up, getting a washcloth, washing your face, and throwing whatever the hell on your face. I don't know. Whatever. The lotion that's been there for 10 years or the petroleum jelly and Vaseline on your face. So we don't know, you know. But as, you know, I think as, you know, black men and men of color, you know, we have...
different texture.
Yeah, we have different texture, you know. To be able to treat our skin with the same approach that we treat our craft, I think is very important. You know what I'm saying? It's very important. And I think also to the younger generation too, not only like your kids, but people that look up to us, you know, I think it's pretty dope. So for us to have this is super cool.
It smells good. So Osho, you can send it to him as a gift so he smells good when you get them buckets on him.
Send me my own product.
Hey, Osho, right even though I want you smelling good when I blow by you, put these buckets on you.
Yeah, for sure.
What are your numbers if you played NBA
right now?
With the Heat? Yeah, what do you
like? Honestly.
Honestly, like, what are you contributing?
No bullshit.
No bullshit.
I'm just being realistic.
Yes.
So give me a month of training.
Okay.
I'm coming off the bench, sixth man.
Yep.
Of the year.
Yep.
I'm probably 28, 12, and 10.
I love Osho.
You're listening to the Shot Podcast, presented by Grey Goose Vodka. Whether it's a dinner party for 10 or a small kickback, you know the vibes will always be right if you're surrounded by your favorite people. and great company pairs best with a great cocktail. So make it a Grey Goose Martini cocktail. Impress your guests in style with an espresso martini or the always effortless classic martini with a lemon twist. No matter what you decide, everyone can appreciate the smooth, delicate taste that only a Grey Goose vodka martini can provide. For more info on how to craft a vodka-based cocktail, visit greygoose.com and remember to always sip responsibly. Sip responsibly. www.responsibledrinking.org. 2024, Grey Goose. Its trade dress and the geese device are trademarks. Imported by Grey Goose Importing Company, Coral Gables, Florida. Vodka, 40% alcohol by volume. Distilled from French wheat.